a chance, and it was Aldridge and Hutton. 1-0.
Tuesday Night Sport on Near FM, every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m.
On the line we have Phelan Warren and Tony Considine. How are you doing, lads?
Good, Neil. How are you, Phelan?
First to you, Tony. We had you in here, I don't know how many years ago, but was it about 2 years ago, when Martin O'Neill was first appointed? Your thoughts so far of the Martin O'Neill's record?
I think, it was 2 years ago and we were in talking about it, all right. I think it's been a campaign full of great moments rather than a great campaign. I suppose, going back to the first game against Georgia, McGeady's late winner there, Long's equaliser against Poland, O'Shea's equaliser over in Germany, and then Long's winner in Germany at home, obviously, sort of spring to mind. I think that it's no coincidence that we've got scored so many late goals, and I think that is a credit to the management team and to Martin O'Neill, obviously. I think if you look at the campaign as a whole, that there has been moments where things haven't been great, but I think that the approach that's gone on in the individual games has nearly been reflected in the campaign in that when things haven't gone well, we've tended to be able to turn it around in the next game of that. So if you look at the Scotland defeat, for example, over in Glasgow, or the Scotland game at home even, the 1-1 draw, which is very disappointing, we turned things around after that, got the win against Germany. Then again, against Poland away, it was sort of back to the worst elements of the rain, and that was a very disappointing game. But then we sort of came to the playoffs, and to be honest, which of the two games against Bosnia are probably the first two competitive games, really, where you could look at it and say that there was very, very solid 90-minute performances. The rest of the good performances sort of tended to be nearly coming in halves. So, say, the first half against Scotland at home, for example, or the second half against Poland at home, the last 20 minutes against Germany away, we didn't really have a sustained 90-minute game where you could say, right, they've been on the ball for the whole game. But I thought we saw that last night, and it's, well, from what we could see in the first leg, certainly in the first half was a solid performance, and the second half seemed to be, although we couldn't see beyond the 18-yard line from where we were standing on the terrace,
And Phelan, the one thing Martin O'Neill seems to have got back into the side is that the word that's often used, especially with Irish teams, is spirit and fight. It's something that kind of was waning a little bit towards the end of the Trapattoni. A lot of people said it was to do with him talking down the players so much. One thing Martin O'Neill has done is got that back. It's something he was famous for at Leicester and Celtic.
He certainly was very famous, and certainly one of his strongest attributes would be, definitely his man management style, and that players buy into his philosophy or his temperament. I think where things started to go really pear-shaped, without having to revert back to the Trapattoni era all the time, I think the fact that he made so few changes in the three matches, which were a disaster in Poland, I think a lot of the fringe players kind of threw their hat at it, I think, after that. I mean, Darren Gibson opted out after that, and there was certainly a lot of mumblings of discontent. And I think the fact that Trapattoni leaned on that core of 12, 13, 14 players, I think, as I say, the rest of the fringe players just threw their hat at it. And I think with Martin, he's given so many players a chance in this campaign that I think, and if they've done well, they're liable to stay in the team. So I think the squad as a whole trusts Martin, and I think Martin in turn trusts every player who turns up as well, that if he's asked to do a job, he'll do it. Because even though, as to Tony, you've correctly alluded to, we didn't tend to put too many consistent 90-minute performances together. But at the same time, players who were asked to play never really let us down. Or if something wasn't quite right on the park, Martin or his coaching staff, whoever was responsible, seems to make important substitutions. Yeah. I thought his substitutions have been consistently good and effective in the campaign. And I think as a whole, Martin has certainly got the group to buy into it. And I think Con, who we had in the day Martin was appointed, when we had that chat a couple of years ago, if Roy Keane is waiting to meet you at the far end, given his stature as a player and his wearing his heart on his sleeve as an Irish player, there's something wrong with you if you come over and don't have a go or don't put it in as a player or as a squad member. But I think certainly Martin has, as you said, definitely put the a huge spirit back in the collective, which was evident in the campaign.
I think
just to sort of add to that, what I was saying there, I think that was shown in how the team was able to cope with the suspensions and the injuries that we've had in the playoffs. And, you know, there's big players missing, such as Long, O'Shea, who probably had his best campaign for Ireland in this campaign.
Yes.
But because of the collective sort of will that he seems to have instilled in the team, there was players able to slot in relatively seamlessly, even when Given went out against Germany and Randolph came in, which was sort of unexpected, and did very well. And as you say, the team's kind of evolved over the campaign. If you look at the start of the campaign, even the Germany game last year, Ford was number one at that stage. But O'Neill has given the chance to sort of players who've come in and obviously impressed in training. I think Randolph possibly got lucky in that Adrian got sent off at West Ham early in the season, and he had those three games in the Premier League where he did very well, and that obviously sort of brought him to the forefront, and he's done super since he came in.
Yeah, and Tony, we've kind of spoken about the team spirit and the how he's brought in, got a squad mentality, but tactically halfway through the campaign there seemed to be a change after the Poland game where he went to a very narrow midfield and played Brady and Coleman as the two fullbacks pushing on. So there's more to it, I suppose, than just the basics and using team spirit to get us through.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is. It was a sort of, like you say, things kind of changed, and I sort of thought that nearly against the Germany game, from the Germany game, he nearly stumbled across his best sort of formation and that, and the way that we played in that game. But then we sort of reverted the type somewhat against Poland. But he has shown that he's not afraid to mix it up. And I mean, even on the second leg last night, sort of switching Brady back into left back, most people were raising their eyebrows at that. But he had a super game at left back, and you know, he's been a bit critical for his defensive abilities when he's played there in the past, and given how, you know, the fact that he got the goal in the first leg, I think most people were expecting him to remain up front. But but like I say, he really played very, very well last night.
And Tony, as well, Fadham had mentioned Roy Keane there. It was something I suppose you were sceptical about. But Martin O'Neill has said it was his most important signing or appointment that he's made. Can you see the tangible benefits of having Roy involved?
I think that it's worked out possibly better than people could have expected. I felt even last night, after the game, you know, there was nearly a touch of sort of rehabilitation for Roy amongst an element of the crowd, because, you know, there has been, amongst a lot of people ago, still sort of issues going back to Saipan, and Roy couldn't help himself mentioning in the press conference last night as well. But there did seem to be, like I say, a bit of a rehab sort of there. And you know, again, I think I just wasn't really sure tactically what was going to go on there, and I was concerned with Robertson not being there, just having seen O'Neill's stint at Sunderland. And to be honest, even the first half of the campaign, I still had those concerns, but it does seem to come together. The team seems to be evolving, and it's definitely moving in the right direction, and it does seem that Keane is part of that as well, yeah.
And Fadham, your view on Keane's role so far?
Yeah, wouldn't really add to what Tony has said, really. Keane is always big box office with the media. Yeah. No matter what Roy Keane does, you know, it's going to be reported on or picked up upon. And we had the incident at the hotel there before one of the matches, I can't remember which game it was. You know, there's always going to be hype and comment about Roy, but he's just got on with the job, and clearly, you know, as the players have got to know him as in a player and coach relationship, things have clearly blossomed. And I've never seen Roy actually as happy and relaxed in the last couple of games, because things have been going well.
He certainly does seem to have
great form at the press conference this morning.
He does seem to develop all right from that point of view. That, like you say, his mood sort of seems better, and there seems to be a sort of, I don't know how you describe it, maybe not the same level of ferocity sort of there or something. Like, he was smiling away last night and what have you, and the players do seem to be responding to it.
And Fadham, from a fan's point of view, going to France next year, will you be going yourself? Obviously, I know there's some people concerned about going to with the safety, and there is breaking news, I think, at the moment that the Germany Holland game has been abandoned tonight as well.
Yeah.
So,
well,
what's your views on that?
Yeah, well, as horrible and appalling as it was what happened at the weekend in Paris, it wouldn't stop me from travelling.
Yeah.
I think the vast majority of fans would feel the same way. I'd be of the view of this. Unfortunately, if you're wrong place at the wrong time, but no, I would imagine the security measures will be, you know, would be cranked up immensely for the tournament, and that certainly wouldn't prevent me from travelling. I have every intention of travelling, all right.
And what sort of group would you be hoping for, or sort of locations?
Honest, I haven't even looked at the speculations. I'm just still kind of basking in the glory that we're actually qualified. I haven't looked at the permutations or who's in pot 1, 2, 3, or 4. I don't tend to do that anyway until the draw is made.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to comment on who I'd like or who I wouldn't like. Hopefully it won't be as formidable as 4 years ago while we were delighted to get strong opposition. As it turned out, we couldn't compete with the well, we were as poor as they were, probably as strong with Croatia, yeah. Italy and Spain, of course, yeah. But I think we're in a much better shape going into the Euros next year than we were 3 years ago.
And Tony, continuing that team, would you be hopeful going over to France next year?
I'll go all right, yeah. I mean, again, I'd echo what Phelan says. If you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, then that's just one of those things. I don't think there's going to be any issues in the ground. I say security is going to be ramped up hugely. I suppose it's really what happens around the fan zones or even queuing into, getting into the grounds, given the increased security, that's going to lead to longer queues, longer waits and stuff like that, and that's where damage could be done. But,
yeah,
it's one of those things. I suppose you can't stop living your life because of what's going on there, as tragic as it is. As regards the group, I mean, I don't think, given the increased size of the tournament this year, we're unlikely to get a group as tough as we did in 2012. And given the fact that, similar to the old World Cups around 1994, that four of the third place teams from the six groups will qualify as well, I think the potential, certainly to get into the last 16, is a lot higher than it would have been to get into the last eight of the Euros in 2012. I'd love to probably get England again, to be honest, for the box office element of that. I'm hearing something today. I mean, I'd heard last night and I'd assumed that we were going to be fourth seed, so we couldn't have got Wales or Northern Ireland. I did see something online earlier on where somebody was saying that if it was a case that the playoff results are counted in the calculations of the seedings, that we'd go up into the third pot. But I'm not sure if the playoff results would be counted, given that that some of the teams have already automatically qualified wouldn't have had the benefit of those those competitive games.
And Phelan, you'd be hopeful enough that we could get out of the group?
Well, again, it's all speculation at this stage. But if there's a third place up for grabs to advance, I'd be optimistic.
Yeah, of course.
By nature, anyway. But as I said, I think we're definitely I think on an upward curve under Martin. I think he's getting to grips with international football. There is a huge difference between being an international manager and a club manager. And I think maybe the first few games of the campaign, Martin was still feeling his way to a large extent and getting to know his players. I think he knows his players pretty well now at this stage. And like I said, I think the players when you qualify for tournaments, the players are bound to buy into a philosophy. But I really think this group is behind Martin and that we'll be. I don't think any team will relish playing against us, put it that way, which is a throwback to the Charlton era and McCarthy era when we were really hugely respected worldwide. I think we might, without getting too carried away, which we did maybe in Poland, I think we have a real chance of competing, competing to the best possible extent next year.
And then just finally on last night's game, Phelan, do you think it ranks as one of the greatest nights in Lands End Road, or where do you?
Well, certainly since the new stadium was opened, I think Emmett said you couldn't really say it was a better result than beating the Germans because the Germans are the world champions. But in terms of the performance from start to finish, I mean, the first half an hour, Bosnia were an absolute shambles. They were kicking everything that moved. They lost their heads at the back, and that was because we had swarmed all over them from the start. I thought the intent from the start, and the pace, and the will to win was just ferocious last night from start to finish. Little dips which are bound to happen in matches, but the fact that it took them till injury time to really have a decent effort on our goal was testament to just how well that we played from start to finish last night.
And Tony, finally with you, where do you think it ranks as a great night in Irish football history and Lands End Road?
Certainly I'd echo what Phelan said there. Since the stadium reopened, it was better. I mean, the Estonia playoff 4 years ago was obviously a bit of a dead rubber because of the great result we got in the away leg. That night ranks up there. Certainly it's up there with the Germany game. It's great to sort of see just the atmosphere kind of went back in. I mean, if you think only a few months ago when we were at home against Georgia and it looked like, you know, there's 28,000 people there, the atmosphere, you know, wasn't there. And Walters, I suppose, who really came to the fore at the end of this campaign, did the business that night. But the Germany game, I think, gave everyone a shot in the arm. I think I agree with what Fenn said as well, that O'Neill was sort of, I thought he was struggling a bit to adapt to international management initially, and over the last few games he really seems to have that sort of appetite that he used to have. He's more energetic on the sideline, and you know, his demeanour in press conferences, and that just seems to be more like the Martin O'Neill we would have been used to from Leicester and from Celtic, as opposed to how it was maybe earlier on in the campaign. I think that he's nearly been energised by the full houses we've had against Germany, against Bosnia, and as I said earlier, you know, it's kind of come together. We're on an upward curve. I suppose he got a bit lucky in that the third place teams were getting into playoffs this time. If this had been any other campaign, third place would have seen us out altogether. But you know, you can counter that by looking at the group that we had, which I said at the time when we spoke and the draw was made, was probably the most difficult group in Europe. I would have been confident that we would have qualified in the top two if we were in Wales's group, for example, because he would have been in there instead of Belgium, or if we were in Northern Ireland's group or whatever else, I would have been confident. So, you know, it is still a great achievement to come out of a group as tough as the one that we did.
Great stuff, lads, and hopefully we'll chat some more ahead of the Euros next year.
Cheers, Neil.
Brilliant stuff.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. 1-0!
Tuesday Night Sport on Near FM, every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m.